WNYC is supported by HBO, presenting Tremé, the drama series about post-Katrina New Orleans, starring Melissa Leo, Wendell Pierce, and Candy Alexander. Tremé Season 2 premieres Sunday, April 24th at 10, 9 Central, on HBO.
Hi, this is Brian Lehrer. You're listening to WNYC On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at WNYC.org and iTunes. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. A couple of things before we get to the GE prank. Coming up tomorrow, why it's so hard to open farmers markets in the inner city. And Wednesday, Kurt Anderson on Donald Trump. A lot to listen for every day here on The Brian Lehrer Show, and sometimes after The Brian Lehrer Show, because starting tomorrow, our politics website, It's a Free Country, kicks off a series of online political chats every Tuesday at noon. We'll get together and discuss politics and the economy and other issues of the day. Everyone can join in. You can type your comments right from your computer or other device, and we'll be inviting big-name guests along the way. Tomorrow, in honor of Tax Week, we'll be discussing the recent Visualize Your Taxes project. Graphic designers from around the country submitted data visualizations that tell the story of where your tax dollars are actually headed. So we'll get together at noon tomorrow to discuss the entries, look at some of this visually, because a lot of it is visually. That's what a data visualization is. Ask questions of the designers and discuss what we've actually learned from them about our tax structure. You can see the entries right now at our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And join us for our tax day chat tomorrow at noon. Well, this is the actual tax day. And while many of you may be scrambling to file your taxes or hurrying to get those extensions in today, there is one thing we can be certain is not happening. General Electric is not returning the $3.2 billion tax refund to the U.S. Treasury, even though that's what the Associated Press reported last week. GE, now a symbol for the corporate tax loopholes that many U.S. corporations employ, was the subject of a prank from a group called U.S. Uncut last week, in which a press release purporting to be from the company announced that GE would be giving back billions that they saved because of offshore tax filings. U.S. Uncut is advocating against the corporate tax loopholes, obviously, which, as the New York Times reported last month, have whittled down the corporate contributions to the federal revenue stream from 6.6% to the corporate contributions to the tax system, 6.6% down from 30%. 60 years ago. The prank made headlines as the Associated Press and USA Today were among those who took the fake GE press release seriously, but it's hardly the first theatrical move from the nine-week-old group some have called the Tea Party of the Left. Joining me now to talk about U.S. Uncut, GE, and Tax Day are Chuck Collins, co-founder of U.S. Uncut and senior scholar at the Institute for Policy and director of the program on inequality and the common good there, and Andrew Boyd, a member of the National Coordinating Group for U.S. Uncut, in our studio. Hello, both of you. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having us.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
Andrew, tell us more about the hoax. How did U.S. Uncut conceive of this press release prank?
Well, with GE, the poster child for corporate tax avoidance, we felt they were the best target. And we felt a few days before tax day would be a good moment to do that. So we chose last Wednesday. We sort of cloned their website, studied their press releases, captured their language, came up with a URL that was almost exactly like their URL but had an extra S in it that wasn't very evident, and wrote a press release, as you said, sort of claiming that in Jeffrey Immelt's voice, quoting him extensively, saying that GE wanted to be a leader in corporate social responsibility, that he'd heard the problems that the public had with GE's practice, that they wanted to reclaim their brand, that they didn't want to offshore jobs anymore, that as in his position as chairman of Obama's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness, it was no longer it was too hypocritical for GE to have an unpatriotic tax policy, et cetera. And so we pushed out the press release to a lot of outlets. AP and USA Today picked it up. And then it was off to the races.
Off to the races. And you did this in conjunction with the Yes Men.
Yes.
Which has done this kind of hoax before and often does fool even major news media organizations. Did you expect the media to pick it up? The fact that it got on the AP, which means it goes to basically every news organization in America on the wire. Did that exceed your expectations?
It massively exceeded our expectations. The Yes Men were advising on this project. I'm very close with them. They've done this enough times that they felt the media had what you might call fake press release fatigue and really didn't expect much of a pickup. So we were very, we did everything that we could to sort of make it happen, but we didn't expect this result. When AP picked it up, we knew it was going to be a big story.
So certainly major point. At least you got it to a lot of ears and a lot of eyes about GE not having paid any more taxes than they did, and even doing it in prank fashion certainly got the issue out there. So Chuck Collins, you're one of the co-founders of U.S. Uncut, and the group started, I understand, in the U.K. as U.K. Uncut. Now it has branches all over the world. In this country, some commentators have already been calling your group the Tea Party of the Left or the Progressive Tea Party. So why don't you tell us what you think you are about at the group's heart, and do you like that characterization of Progressive Tea Party?
Well, I think we are the next evolution of the tax protest efforts. You know, a year ago, 2 years, the last 2 years has been pretty much dominated by sort of the Tea Party's grievances about the tax system, and we're adding another frame to that. And in the 7 weeks that we've been together, I think that the main simple message is we don't have to be making these huge budget cuts, whether they're at the federal level or in our communities. We don't have to be laying off teachers. We should be making these corporate tax dodgers pay up. And I think that's what struck a simple nerve. I mean, the facts of corporate tax avoidance have kind of been around for a while. But what's happening is people are saying, wait a second, I personally am paying more than General Electric and Verizon and Boeing. I'm paying more taxes. And at the same time, we're having to, be in this kind of false austerity in terms of our local budgets and state and federal budgets. So I think that's the nerve that this effort is hitting.
And, of course, there's a larger debate to be had there about how much of the austerity is false and how much state, local, and federal governments have kind of borrowed their way into over time legitimately. But I want to read a line or two from the press release, the fake press release, to get to the serious point behind it. And this fake quote is attributed to GE CEO Jeffrey Immelt. Quote, "We didn't write the laws that let us legally avoid paying taxes. Congress did. But we benefit from those laws, and now we'd like to share those benefits. We are proud of being able to give something back to America, and we are proud to set an example for all industry to follow," unquote. So, of course, the fake part is that they weren't actually giving back the money from their tax loopholes. But the underlying point about responsibility, is your target – I mean, your target seems to be the corporations themselves. Let's make fun of GE and hate on GE. But maybe the real target should be Congress because, you could argue that any self-respecting corporation, like any self-respecting individual, is going to take advantage of any tax breaks that they can get that are legal.
Well, one thing that's important is when General Electric says, yeah, we're just obeying the law, we have to all remember they helped write the law. I mean, they have so much political clout. And I think part of the reason why we are focusing on the companies is because they're using their incredible vast resources. I mean, there were 12 companies that spent $1 billion lobbying over the last 10 years for special tax treatment. That's just not sitting back and waiting for Congress to write the rules. So they're in the rulemaking process. But you're right. In the end, what we have to do as citizens is to get our political system to work. I mean, Congress tomorrow could pass the Stop Tax Haven Abuse Law that would require corporations to pay taxes in the jurisdiction where they make their profits and eliminate some kind of arcane provisions like you have to show that your subsidiary exists for another purpose other than tax avoidance. Congress could legislate that tomorrow. It would generate hundreds of billions of dollars in new revenue, and it would create a level playing field for domestic, patriotic domestic businesses that are paying their taxes. So it is a political education and political will problem. And that's why U.S. Uncut is so important, is because it's just connecting the dot very clearly at the local level.
My guests are Andrew Boyd and Chuck Collins from the group U.S. Uncut, a new progressive policy organization that also happened to fool some of the media last week into airing or writing a false GE pays its taxes voluntarily story. Did any of you, I'm curious, anybody listening right now, we have time for just a few phone calls, but did anybody actually hear this story anywhere or read it? Did it make your eyes or make your ears before you realized that it was a hoax? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I'll take a little credit and say that I did see the hoax move into my inbox during the show when it came out on Thursday, right?
It came out when it was Wednesday.
Wednesday, whichever day it was, Wednesday, and we had two members of Congress on at the same time, and they were just laying into GE for getting this huge refund and not paying taxes. And I saw this, and I thought, should I bring this up? And I thought, I'm not on GE's mailing list generally. And this looks a little too good to be true. We're going to check it out. And obviously it didn't check out. So you came pretty close to punking me, you guys. But I managed to put up my firewall of skepticism.
and that's sort of the idea. We wanted to create a happy headline. We wanted to, in a sense, hold GE accountable to a possible future, to doing the right thing. You know, if they're not going to really do it, but, you know, for a short period of time, maybe, you know, 40 minutes or whatever, the world believed that GE was actually going to do the right thing, that was possible. And so this ups the bar for them.
And I want to play a clip because just a few weeks before the New York Times revealed the actual story about GE's huge tax refund and tiny tax bill, President Obama toured a GE plant in upstate New York and named CEO Jeffrey Immelt as liaison to the business community and chairman of the President's Council on Jobs and Competitiveness. And here's some of what he said that day.
We see it right here at this plant. We see it right here at GE. Is that America is still home to the most creative and most innovative businesses in the world. We've got the most productive workers in the world. America's home to inventors and dreamers and builders and creators.
So there he's praising America at the famous GE plant in Schenectady. Here at that same appearance, he praises the CEO.
Now, nobody understands this better than Jeff Immelt. He understands what it takes for America to compete in the global economy. As he mentioned, I've appreciated his wisdom during these past 2 years. We had a difficult crisis on our hands.
All right. So those words obviously strike a strange chord now that we have the details of how GE and other companies claim that America is not their home when it comes to tax returns. What does this mean for U.S. Uncut politically, Chuck? Who has your ear?
Well, I think, you know, after we've been at this now for 9 weeks, and today there are 110 actions in different communities around the country. And I think that we're around to stay, and I think people are noticing that. And I think that Congress members are starting to see these demonstrations in their district. I think that the whole issue of corporate tax dodging will be much in play in this next session of Congress. We actually might see some legislative advances. One interesting thing that's happening is while this is happening, there are about 20 corporations that have formed a coalition called Win America, and they want to bring back $1.2 trillion of offshore profits that they haven't paid taxes on. They want to bring it back to the U.S. and not have to pay more than 5% taxes on it. And that's going to be one of the things we're going to be putting our attention on, is saying, no, you don't get tax amnesty, no tax amnesty for tax deadbeats.
Did you get a reaction from President Obama, either to your story or, as far as you know, to the actual story of GE's tax bill?
He has been silent on this. I think it's a huge embarrassment that the chair of his Council on Competitiveness is a tax dodger. He was very, as a candidate, Obama was very outspoken against these offshore tax havens, and he was a co-sponsor of the Stop Tax Haven Abuse legislation, but he's been awkwardly silent. when it comes to General Electric.
All right. Here are a few people who saw it on media sites that got punked. Pooja in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi there.
Where'd you see it?
Yes, I saw it on Facebook. Someone had put it up as a story that was carried by NPR. And just the night before, I was discussing this with my husband, that how Google and GE are not paying taxes, and people like us have to pay taxes. And this infuriated us. And I actually had a pretty heated conversation on Facebook with a couple of friends, and everyone seemed to be pretty angry about what's going on. So I thought I should share this with you.
So if nothing else, they started a conversation among you and your friends.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And I don't know. That was the first that I heard that NPR may have put it on its Facebook page, so I'm not sure that that's accurate. Did you guys hear
Pooja
that?
Is Pooja still there, or is she gone?
Pooja, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
I would recommend that you turn that anger into action and visit usuncut.org and start a group in your community in New Jersey. All the friends that you were talking to who were angry on Facebook...
Mm-hmm.
Form a group and channel that anger. It'll make you feel good, and it'll improve the country.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Rocky in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. You heard about this?
I think I did hear it on NPR. And my comment is that I love the mischief. I love bringing it to the forefront. But I was at an event, and people were talking about it, and I'm a little embarrassed because I chirped up and said, no. I heard that they are paying the taxes. So, like when you have, documentaries and stuff that kind of spoof the real stuff, sometimes the message gets lost, and I'm just curious if, mm-hmm. How you balance that, because it works both ways. I love what they're doing, but I just wanted to bring up the fact that it could go the other way, which it did for me. I'm embarrassed that I said, I repeated that right. story, and people went, they did pay the debt.
You were the one who got fooled.
Yes,
so,
I did.
Andrew, what about that?
I'd like to apologize for that moment of embarrassment, and just if you would chalk it up to the greater good, and that this creates a lot of publicity. It puts the spotlight on GE. It sort of creates a happy headline that we can all sort of, wish that was the world that we would live in. So in a sense, it creates a sense of hope, and hopefully holds us to a higher standard. I apologize for your personal embarrassment.
And we're just about out of time. But, Chuck, give us the 60-second whirlwind through the worst of the loopholes, the real, policy challenge. What do they need to close?
Well, part of how these companies avoid their taxes is in a way, it's kind of simple. They create a subsidiary, and this is what General Electric's done. They've created subsidiaries in Bermuda, Singapore, and Luxembourg. And those subsidiaries hold their intellectual property, they hold patents, and they shift their profits to those subsidiaries. So basically they say, look, we've earned all our profits over there in these offshore havens, and we've earned all of our losses here in the United States. And that's the game. And there's some kind of, kind of technical fixes there, but essentially, if we passed the Stop Tax Haven Abuse Act, we would reduce some of these incentives for corporations to use these tax havens that move jobs offshore. We would require we would have to have treaties with other countries so that corporations would report taxes where they earn them and pay them where they earn them. But in the end, it's not that complicated. It's something that if the political will existed, it could be changed.
And since Paul Ryan and President Obama were both talking about closing loopholes in their competing debt reduction proposals last week, do you think that either of them are serious about these kinds of loopholes?
Well, I think we are going to see some kind of corporate tax reform. Paul Ryan would like to cut the tax rate while keeping all the many of these loopholes and offshoring system in place. So the real litmus test is, will the offshore system stay in place? I think Obama understands how destructive it is.
Chuck Collins, co-founder of U.S. Uncut and senior scholar at the Institute for Policy, and Andrew Boyd, member of the National Coordinating Group for U.S. Uncut, which fooled many people in the media with their hoax last week that GE was going to voluntarily pay back all the taxes that they save through these loopholes. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And we finish out today as we head toward the first night of Passover, talking about bitter herbs as the first Seder night approaches. Sean Gibby, a convert to Judaism, on loving the religion but getting used to the food. Stay with us. Thanks for listening to WNYC On Demand. Please check out our other programs at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This free service is made possible by our listeners. Become a member of WNYC today.